This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The right tire at the guaranteed lowest price. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
In the dynamic world of programmatic ad buying, Viant is your ultimate CTV partner. Target with precision. Buy with confidence. Viant empowers you with AI-driven technology that reaches your audience where they engage most, ensuring your message hits home. And the campaign results? Transparent. Thanks to Viant's advanced measurement suite. For media buyers who demand the best, Viant delivers. Viant, elevate your CTV campaign performance. Visit ViantInc.com/CTV today.
Sal Licata here. It was a long, cold, lonely winter, but spring is finally here. And that means we're almost ready to have some painting done on the exterior of our house. We've been working with Phil from CertaPro. Can't believe what a smooth process it's been. We totally trust him and his team. And with the weather starting to cooperate, I'll be telling you about the results very soon. So if you need some exterior painting done for your home or business, call CertaPro Painters at 1-800-GO-CERTA. That's CERTA with a C, or go to CERTAPRO.com.
Each CERTAPRO Painter's business is independently owned and operated.
This is Alex Shulman.
And this is JJ Hill of Shulman & Hill, New York's premier injury law firm.
We'll always go the extra mile for you when you're hurt in a car accident.
If you've ever wished you had a lawyer in the family, now you will.
At Shulman & Hill, it's never one and done. Once you're a client, you're always part of our family.
We'll always go the extra mile for you.
New Yorkers in every borough and on every block know us by name. Shulman & Hill.
Get your free consultation at HurtNY.com. That's HurtNY.com.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, hon.
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Get the latest on the Giants and Jets on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Good morning at 1 o'clock. I'm Marco Belletti, and this report is brought to you by PoliceOfficersRightToSue.com. Knicks missed a chance to secure the 3 seed in the East, let a 13-point second-half lead slip away to the Pistons, 115-106. Very likely the first-round matchup for the Knicks as they got a good dose of Cade Cunningham, who poured in 36.
First half, played pretty good. Third quarter, got up 13. And then I thought our turnovers really hurt us. Tie score with probably 6-7 minutes left in the game.
Knicks were minus 3 big pieces. Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, they all sat this one out. Knicks just 2 games left, need either one win or a Pacers loss to wrap up that 3 spot in the East. Hawks dismantled the Nets 133-109. Too little, too late for the Rangers in all likelihood. Stave off elimination, at least for one day, as they rock the Islanders 9-2. Justin Rose, your leader after one run of the Masters, 7-under, good for a three-shot advantage on defending champion Scotty Scheffler and two others. And after trying to find a trade partner with no luck, Alan Lazard decided to take a massive pay cut to remain with the Jets. They drop his base salary, $11 million, to just $2.25 million. Jets also avoid the final year of his deal that makes him a free agent at the end of the season. 42 degrees, clear skies, Central Park. That's what's happening. I'm Marco Belletti.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Well, now it's time for Fanalyst Keith McPherson. Hey, Keith, tell me something cool.
Hey, John. I don't know if you're into golf, but I'm becoming more of a golf guy by the day. I never really was into it. I had some homies that were on the Monmouth University golf team, and they always would be watching the Golf Channel and talking golf and playing golf. That was probably the closest I ever got to it. But the Masters is going on, and there's some cool things happening with that that caught my attention. The first, you know, one of the baseball players that got me into baseball, Hall of Famer, the kid, Ken Griffey Jr., he's working at the Masters as a credentialed photographer. Ken Griffey Jr. is there shooting flicks. He's got the big camera. He's there. And, you know, as I was looking at stuff today for this Tell Me Something Cool, I saw something really cool. And I want to go to more environments like this. There is a rule at the Masters where you got to leave your phone in the car. You got to leave your phone outside of the green. There's a rule. No phones are allowed. And someone captured a picture today, and it's amazing. You just see everybody with their hats and their glasses, but their eyes focused on the swing. Not one iPhone in the air, not one head looking down at the phone, no one scrolling, just everybody locked in on the event. I think we got to figure out how to have more things like that. That's super cool. What else did I find that was cool? Oh, I wasn't even familiar with this guy. Fred Couples, making his 40th Masters appearance. Yahoo Sports writes, he gave them plenty to cheer about Thursday at Augusta National. The 65-year-old posted 1-under-71, becoming the second oldest player in tournament history to shoot under par. And I found a video on Twitter of this guy, Fred Couples, shooting one into a hole from 191 yards out. He eagles on number 14. The clip has 2 million views. So, tell me something cool. There's also a video that Front Office Sports put out, Golf Digest put out, of the number of private jets that landed at the Augusta Airport for the Masters. A ton of them. Like, the money and the attention and the status of this tournament is amazing. I hope to go one day. I hope to get into golf one day, and I'll get into where I am in the golfing. I was just telling the folks in the chat, I've gone to Hudson Golf in Hoboken twice. Shout out to my wife. She got me a birthday gift last year and a Father's Day gift last year of just like, I don't know, money to spend there, classes. I started off with classes, and then I went there again. They have food there. They have beers there, and they have simulators there where you can just go and hit as many balls as you want during your hour, 2 hours. So that's the most that I've done. But now I have to take the next step as it's getting warmer out. The head coach at my high school called me the other day. Hey, we want you to play in the, you know, charity golf tournament. I said, all right, I got you. I'll be there. My good pal, David Cohn, this is the third year I'll be involved with the David Cohn charity softball outing. And the first year I just hung out in the golf cart. Guys like Mark Malusis and John Jastrzemski and CeeLo, Sweeney Murdy from WFAN were all there. Those guys were swinging away. They were playing. I just was riding around in the golf course. I was playing Mario Kart. I was just, you know, doing laps. And then the second year it rained, so I dodged one last year. But last year I did get my, like, golf bag. Shout out to Casamigos who sent the golf bag. I did buy some Nike golf shoes. I have a couple shirts. I'm ready to go. I don't have any clubs yet. I have two fears. One, that I'll just, you know, be too much of a novice of a rookie out there, and I'll mess up the game for others. I don't want to mess up the flow. I don't want to mess up the time for anybody else. I just want, you know, I want to be able to put the ball down, hit the ball, and act like I've done it before. You know, I was just using the analogy in the chat about, like, when you go hoop, when you play pickup basketball, there's sometimes when it's grown men only, no kids on the court. Your little brother can't play. No kids in this game. This is 5-on-5. This is grown men only, because there's a certain level of competition. I don't want to be the little brother on the golf course. And then my other fear is that I'm just going to get so obsessed with being good that I want to play all the time. I don't have the time to go to the golf course. I don't have the time to play all the time. Shout out to my guy Lee, who has been, he set me up with tee times where I'm like, I can't make it, bro. I do the radio show every night till 2 in the morning. I don't go to sleep until 3:34 most nights. I can't bring myself to go to sleep till 4 a.m. most nights. I can't make you. I can't make your 7 a.m. tee time. I can't make your 1 o'clock tee time. But I'm about to start making it. So looking forward to getting into the golf now. It's been, you know, like 3 years in the making, and I'm sure I'll have some updates for you as I start swinging and playing. But yeah, there's my tell me something cool. Back to the phones we go. Justin in Floral Park on the fan. Welcome back, Justin.
Keith, happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Didn't even realize it is Friday, and it's payday too. Let's
yes,
go.
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you, JJ's got one of the ugliest golf swings there ever is, and I'm boys with that guy, so I could say that.
He loves it, though. He's always out there.
Dude, with his Miami Dolphins garbage, it's terrible. Keith, my daughter and I and a bunch of friends went to the Ranger game tonight. Man, they got more lives than a cat, Keith. The fact that they're still alive, as terrible as the season's been, and I'm telling you, I'm looking at Montreal's schedule, Keith, and if I get to Saturday and they lose back-to-back games and I'm 6 points out with 3 games to play, I like my chances, Keith. So let's go Canadian. Let's go Maple Leafs. Let's go Senators. Take care of the Canadians this week, tomorrow and Saturday. And let the Rangers have another life. Keith, as far as the Knicks go, let me tell you something, Keith. I know the Knicks weren't playing some of their guys, but this is what it's going to look like when they play the Pistons. No one, and I repeat, no one is going to stop Cade Cunningham, and that is why the Knicks will be out in the first round.
OG.
Who's guarding this guy?
OG. They got to put OG on him.
Oh, please, OG. How do you look guarding Tatum in clutch time?
Okay, yeah. You just got to slow him down. You can't stop him. There's no Kobe stopper,
yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
You just got to slow him down.
Keith, I'm telling you, they're not going to beat the Pistons. I'm telling you right now. I know the Pistons don't have the experience, but I'm telling you, I just don't think Brunson's 100%.
They have to beat the.
Well.
I think they'll beat the Pistons.
Agree.
They have to.
But I'm telling you, it's a young, scrappy team that doesn't know any better, Keith. I'm telling you, if they steal a game at the Garden, I can see them losing in 6 games, man. I really can. And listen, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but I just don't think I think the writing's on the wall, Keith. I really don't think this is their year. And obviously, they're not beating Boston. So, let's forget that. Now, one last thing on the Yanks. Love what Free did the other night. That's a gamer right there. That's the guy that, you know, stopped the bleeding. And listen, I'm not getting crazy with Devin Williams. He's coming off a major injury last year, okay? I got to give him until at least Memorial Day. Until I'm turning it over to Weaver. You know, let's give this guy the job at least, man. Let's give this guy a chance. Man, he's got two tough outings, but let's keep it, you know, let's let Williams still be the closer here, man. And some of these Yankee fans are going crazy, you know, because I know Weaver's been lights out, but let's give this kid a chance.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
It's just like, we didn't acquire this guy to quit on this guy. Thanks for the call.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Justin. Sorry to cut you there. I didn't even bother talking about Devin Williams because I did it last night, but more has come out. Shout out to my guy Gabe, who does some Instagram stuff on his Instagram account, The Playbook, where he was breaking down Devin Williams' ERA, and that, like, Devin Williams always starts off slow. That he always has a lower ERA in the beginning of the season. Let me see if I can pull it up. I can't play it, but I think people just need something to yell about, be mad about. Says, you know, Devin Williams never starts the season off well. If you look at his ERA in March and April, he has a 3.86 ERA. And even in May, it's not that great with a 2.51. So, like, this is nothing new. And, like, I played the cut last night from Devin Williams where he said he needs to get into a rhythm. And people are like, they're like mad at him for that. Oh, how are you not in a rhythm? How are you not in a rhythm? I'll give you three reasons. He did not pitch that much in his first spring training because they want to throw him into the situations that simulate the situation he's going to be in. High leverage situations where you got to get three outs. He didn't make that many appearances in his first spring training. You can't simulate that in all of these games. Then his regular season work was interrupted from the birth of his first son. My first son will be 2 on Sunday. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. I know where I was, and I know even how I was out. I was out for a while, where people were even saying I was out for a while, and I'm like, mind your business. I got to hold it down for my wife and my son. I don't have a deep family. I don't have a bunch of people around here. Let me be the man and do what I got to do, because you know what? My family is forever. Jobs are temporary. Devin Williams is a free agent after this year. He might not be a Yankee. And you guys are already trying to take his job. So his start to the season was interrupted after he got booed off the mound. His start to the season was interrupted by paternity leave. And then the last reason is like I just told you. Traditionally, he has started off slow. He's got to, you know, work up a lather, get a lather going, break a sweat. He's got to get into the warmer weather, get that fastball going, land that fastball that sets up the changeup. So I'm not out on Luke Weaver. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just people, just especially with the Yankees and the Yankee fans, somebody's always got to be the whipping boy. We're never satisfied. Nothing is ever good enough. And they just need something to complain about, something to talk about. You know, on the other side, that was funny. In my notes tonight, I was going to write, but I didn't even want to mention it. For one night, we don't have to complain about Devin Williams and Brett Beatty. Here we are Friday morning talking about Devin Williams. I'm glad nobody called me up to complain about Brett Beatty, because what does it matter? The teams are winning, and there's a new series starting, and we got plenty of baseball in front of us. Devin Williams, went, and like you're gonna look foolish when Devin Williams is lights out, turns into what he's always been. MLB Network has some of the smartest researchers and people over there. I know from my little bit of time over there. They ranked him as the number one reliever in baseball. It's him and Emmanuel Clase. Luke Weaver is great. But like, you're so quick to want to be, you know, want to say that this guy hasn't earned it. Take this guy out of... We need this guy. We need both Luke Weaver and this guy. So you're going to eat your words when he does figure it out in June. In May, not even June. I think he'll figure it out by May. So enough with that Devin Williams nonsense. We need this guy. We traded for this guy. This is a guy that's going to get us big outs. You want to go back to the World Series? You need a closer. 888-808-1019. My guy Mo from the Bleachers back on the Fan. What up, Mo?
What's going on, Keith? Shout out to your son. Happy birthday on Sunday.
Thank you.
And, just wanted to let you know, just wanted to ask you a question. I mean, with the hole with the Yankees, with the hole at third base, because I'm just not very happy with what's going on at third base. How long do you think it's going to be before the Yankees make a real push for Arenado? Because I'm seeing Arenado and Helsley as coming in because Arenado's got negative value, and he could use that other bullpen arm. I think with Canley being gone, I think a big three of Williams, Helsley and Weaver, and you could put Arenado in there, which is what they really need, a good third baseman, a good defensive third baseman, a right-handed bat. And I don't really see any other teams competing for him. The only other team I thought that would compete for Arenado was the Red Sox, and now with Devers and Bregman, it's like literally tailor-made for the Yankees. I wonder if Cashman's going to make this move before the trade deadline, because one thing we noticed with the deadline being pushed back to the 31st, it's a seller's market every year. It's going to be a seller's market because you're going to have 20 teams competing for the wild card. Do you think that he'll go all in and go for Arenado, maybe package him with a Helsley, or do you think he'll wait till the trade deadline?
Cashman always waits. He's always buzzer beater type of guy. Hours before the deadline is when he makes his moves. I don't think that they're interested in Arenado. They had every opportunity to do it in the offseason. Everybody was saying it. Everybody was pointing to it. Arenado went out of his way to show up to George M. Steinbrenner Field to physically be in front of the Yankees and said, oh, he wanted to see his friend Paul Goldschmidt. You were just playing with him for years. You didn't need to see him that bad. Like, you took that ride all the way from, I forget what town the Cardinals playing, but this is where I'm at with it. Cabrera, Peraza. They've moved away from Pablo Lopez. It's Cabrera, it's Peraza. It's going to be them for the first half. I do think they may try to add another right-handed bat there, but I don't think it's going to be Arenado because I don't think that they want to have Arenado's contract for the years that come after this year. Even though it is an all-in move, right? Even though we know how great Arenado could be on this team, I don't think Cashman is interested in taking on that contract. It could be somebody else. And I think that they'll feel like once Stanton is back and we'll see, you know, how else the rest of the, you know, the team shakes out. I don't think they're going all in for Arenado because of his contract. He's getting up there in age. And also, we cannot forget, everybody's asking for George Lombard Jr. The Yankee tax is going to be high this year. Everybody's asking for Spencer Jones, Ben Hess. You know, the Yankee tax is going to be high this year, and you got to give to get. And they're going to try and rob Brian Cashman, and he's the least likely to ever get fleeced. Like, he does not want to give up his top guys. He will prospect hug before he gets fleeced.
Well, I hope to see you. I hope to see you if you come out tonight. I'm not sure if you are, but it's looking like I'm going to show up myself. Maybe I'll catch you tonight when you come by. Thanks for taking the call, buddy.
Mo, you're the man. Good to hear you. Go to bed. Don't you got to go to work? Don't you got to be at work in the morning? Go to sleep. And I appreciate y'all to stay up and listen, especially the Creatures gang. I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm planning on going to the game, yo, but at the same time, it's going to rain. My favorite night to go to the Yankee game is Friday night in the Boogie Down Bronx, but it's supposed to pour rain. I'm looking at the forecast now. Like, I don't want to drive up there or take the train up there for a postponement. And then it just gets, like, messy, yo. You can't even wear any nice kicks. You got to wear some whack kicks because it's going to rain and then it gets... Nah, that's not... I don't know. For my first Friday night game, I guess I could wait a little bit. I could wait a little bit. I want to go. I was sick during the whole Diamondback series. I didn't go to one night game yet. And I want to see the gang. I got to see if Milton the Cowbell Man is going to ring the cowbell on a Friday night and turn it up in 203. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to go if it's going to rain. And I think the Yankees could end up pushing this or calling this. But if you look at the weather, it's supposed to rain. 85% chance of rain Friday, today. 90% on Saturday, 45%. It's supposed to rain this whole weekend. And you know the former New York Giants, they're going to draw. I think I already heard like Richie in Queens. Somebody else, my friend Angela, who was in the fan cave with me. She like won the fan cave that year. You can't really win the fan cave, but you can win the fan cave if like your team wins the World Series. The 2014 MLB fan cave that I was in. Angela, shout out to Angela. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Carter. Happy birthday, Carter. Love you guys. Angela is a Giants fan. She just reached out to go to the game. I'm like, you can come with me. I got a ticket, but it's going to rain. And like, I've been up there. I've done this and I've been up there. And then also, like, I'm supposed to be off WFAN tomorrow night doing the show after and picking up the Saturday show after the Yankees, but I got to get in touch. I don't know if David is listening right now. I actually just had the thought. I got to get in touch with the bosses about, like, what if they do push the game? Do y'all need me to rock a five-hour KM to AM on a Friday night? I think you might want to do that. So, I don't know. To be determined. TBD. 888-808-1019. Josh is in Passaic on the fan. What's up, Josh?
Yo, Keith, how you doing, man?
I'm good, you know, bringing it home.
Yeah, so first off, I tried looking at, like, what the A's are selling tickets for tomorrow. I click on off ESPN. They say we can't even find the website. Then go look at tickets. The cheapest ticket to get into a team that's playing a minor league stadium is $60. No wonder they hate that owner.
I mean, that's great. If I'm a Mets fan, and I thought about it, but I haven't really looked into it yet, but if I'm a Mets fan, Sacktown, Sacramento, to go see the Mets play in Sacramento, that's a move. I would make that move.
$60 for the cheapest ticket.
Yeah, and there's not a bad seat in there. It's not like there's 400 level.
I hear that part. Yeah, I do hear that. Anyway, I really wanted to go on the Sixers. You know, we were kind of jumping on the Rangers last night. We should really have these one of these days where we jump on the Sixers. I think there's a report coming out that they're looking into Zion Williamson for next year.
Great.
Another player that with him and Embiid.
They'll never play. George. They'll never be on the court. They'll play two games together.
It's so funny, and I really hope, and you know, will continue if they lose their top six pick. And you see that, you know, they're not trying to win any games, and if they can lose that also, wow. It's just fun to see. Every, you know, I think we just, you know, we always hate Philly, and, you know, we're trying to get every chance back for them to suffer since they won that Super Bowl. And, you know, the fans were acting like Nazis, and we saw someone even, like, fall off the post over there. But anyway, how you feeling on the Sixers? What do you got to say on them?
Yeah, you can't. Someone died, Josh. You can't make light
of not that far. Meaning that after he died, they still were acting like nuts in the streets. Like, they should have felt something. That just shows, like, what type of fans they are.
They're always gonna flood the streets. That's what they do. But yeah, that young freshman at Temple, he lost his life out there. We can't.
They should have had respect for him. And afterwards, you know, not done the same things. And they're firing shots. There's fires going on.
Yeah, it's Philly, bro. If you've ever been down there, they're crazy. And they won the Super Bowl again. I wanted anybody but them to win. I was hoping the Lions could get it done. But what else did you say?
That no, just on when they're celebrating off, they know that in the Super Bowl there was shots fired, there was fires going on, they're fighting with police.
Yeah, they vandalized their own city. That won't happen in New York, but. Well, you know what also won't happen in New York? A championship parade or a championship that would make anybody go out into the street. Like, we can't win anything.
Right, yeah, that's another toughie. But, you know, Keith, you know there's a Max Muncy on the A's? Like, I'm looking at the roster, and, like, every time you know the Mets are playing these teams, them and the Marlins, like, I have to learn their whole lineup right before. They do have this guy, like, Showmaker or something that I think is almost leading the AL in home runs. They're an interesting team anyway. It should be fun. They don't even have a starter set up for Saturday or anything. So we'll just have to see how that series works out. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, they got the boy Lawrence Butler. Lawrence Butler is a good player. Brent Rooker. They've got some former Yankees pitchers over there with the Sacramento A's. Luis Severino. J.P. Sears. Is J.P. Sears still over there? Yeah, I got to start looking into the A's and the Mets series coming up. We'll talk about it all this weekend. But yeah, and I also got to look at potentially going out to Sacramento. I've never been there, but I'd like to go see that. You know, this is one of those, like, quirky things, right? The Yankees go out. I'm sure those tickets are going to be a lot higher than what the Mets tickets are. No shade, but just like when the Yankees go out there, everybody's going out there. It probably won't be a $60 ticket available. But yeah, Mets should sweep them. Should go out there and sweep them. But what I was hearing about that band box out there is, you know, some home runs were flying out, and it's a hitter's park. And, you know, some people are mad about, you know, sell the team type of rhetoric going on. Because of where they are right now, even, you know, Sacramento not really fully putting their arms around the Athletics and embracing them because they don't want to be Sacramento's team. They're not repping the Sacramento, you know, Athletics. They're just ATH, the Athletics. But I understand that too. Oh, Miguel Andujar is out there still with them, another former Yankee playing left field. Yankees tried to throw him in left field. It took him a few years. He's good now. And yeah, their Max Muncy is a second baseman. He's much younger than Max Muncy from the Dodgers. He's 22. And you guys seen him. You know what I just thought about? Last year, when Hawk Tua Girl came to Citi Field, who were the Mets playing? They were playing Shea Stadium Langoliers, J.J. Bleda, and the Make It Happen Athletics. They got a scrappy little team. This Tyler Soderstrom is tied with Judge for most homers in baseball. So maybe they won't sweep them. This will be a good test for the Make It Happen Mets. Maybe, you know what I just thought about, folks? Maybe this is what gets Brett Beatty going. Playing in a minor league ballpark. He'll feel right at home. Back to quadruple A. It's good to have a night off from baseball, man. It's good to be able to talk about the Knicks, the Jets, the Giants. I wish my Jets caller would call back. I don't know. I feel like Jets fans are they're very timid and trepidatious, and like they're not all in. I don't know. I don't know how you can't be all in on this regime of Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn. They seem like the right guys, and I think they're going to make the right picks, and you're going to have an NFL team or a team that resembles one.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swing on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we're back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. I won't even say out-of-town scoreboard because the Mets and Yankees did not play tonight. I saw Mike Trout was back at it again down at George M. Steinbrenner Field. The Angels put up 11 runs against the Rays, and Trout homered twice. Then a couple guys homer twice. The Angels don't look now. They're 8-4, second place in the AL West. The Guardians defeat the White Sox. The White Sox are on their way to, I don't know, losing 172 games if they can this year. The Royals by one knock off the Twins 3-2. The Rockies defeat the Brewers 7-2. And the Blue Jays lose to the Red Sox in 10 innings, 4-3, and everybody's talking about Aroldis Chapman and how Chapman is throwing gas. And last but not least here, as I go back to my tabs or whatnot, and I lost a tab, and I gave you that score and that score and that score. Last but not least here from the out-of-town scoreboard, the Braves beat the Phillies in 11 innings. Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna homers to left center field. Austin Riley scores to walk it off. 888-808-1019. You know what I said about the Braves? Don't count them out. I know people set up. They start off 0-7. No team has ever made the postseason. No team has ever made the postseason after starting 0-7. I'm like, you know, those type of things are made to be broken. We saw them walk down the Mets a couple years ago to win the AL East, remember, or the NL East. Remember, the NL East was over and it wasn't. Yeah, so I would not count the Braves out yet. Here they come. Let's go to SY in Brooklyn on The Fan. What's up, SY?
Yeah, hello, Keith. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
You think if you're David Stern, you go up all out in this season, since you see the Braves are down a little bit, and you could take the division there, like dish out all the prospects?
You're saying if I'm David Stearns, would I be going all in at the deadline to like stack this team because of the Braves' slow start? I just think that those two things are different, right? We're 2 weeks into the season. Now we're going into the third week. The trade deadline will happen months from now. I think David Stearns is patient. I think he's calculated. I think if this Mets team, regardless of what the Braves are or doing, if this Mets team looks like a team that is a starting pitcher away or a bat away, they're going to go get it. I think, you know, if it's a Sandy Alcantara or somebody else, I think that they will try to go get it because they went to the NLCS last year. They got a taste of what that is like. We know the Dodgers will be lurking. We know the Padres, even the Giants, and some of these other teams in the National League are good. I would say that, yeah, they will be interested in trying to add to this Mets team. And the Mets are good right now, or at least have come out the gate in a positive way and started the season off pretty good right now. And they have help on the way. They have guys getting healthy and coming back. So they might not need to add that much.
Yeah, also, about these rumors about the Dodgers possibly acquiring Bobichet from the Blue Jays. You think that would be, like, bad for baseball if they get them?
No. I mean, the Dodgers, that's what the Dodgers do. They're always adding talent.
Yeah, but having all-stars on the bench is just something else.
I think it's a smart play. I think it's being prepared for injuries, being prepared to pinch hit guys, being prepared for, like, they were hurt last year and won the World Series because they had enough backups because they went for it at the deadline, you know? They don't stop. They do not miss an opportunity to improve their team. It's admirable. I am jealous, honestly.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you, S.Y. I was going to think of something, clever. What does S.Y. stand for? I got the S.N.Y. background behind me. S.Y. S.N.Y. So New York. What's S.Y. stand for? Is it your first last name, S.Y.? I won't go any further. I don't mean to offend if I say anything that is. I don't know what your name, I don't know where S.Y. comes from, and I don't want to take it down the wrong path. Anyway, I was, speaking about the Dodgers, and that was leading me to somewhere I wanted to go. When I say it's admirable that the Dodgers are always trying to add, they're always in the mix. They're always in the postseason. They have the highest attendance. They have a star-studded team. They have a loophole with these deferrals where they have the best contract or the best roster with contracts. It just doesn't make any sense. With the Yankees, Brian Cashman spoke, and I guess he was on Sirius XM MLB Network radio. He said, "We're going to continue to rely on everything we have and certainly hope for good health as we move forward." Bum, bum, bum. Like, the Yankees and good health? Like, we're already starting off on a bad foot. Look at the rotation. Where's Stanton been? Let me go to these other quotes. Cashman said, "I didn't think of anything." Or no, let's go back. MLB.com. On March 29th of this year, you won your 2,500th game as general manager. Who was the first person you thought of? Cashman said, "I didn't think of anything. I was completely off guard. I was trying to play catch up. First, is this real? Second, I didn't know where that number stood. To this day, I don't really follow the media. I don't know where that sits. It's obviously something I'm proud to be associated with and have the shared wins that we all have. Past that, it's been a long run so far. Any true general manager focuses on the losses and lets go of the wins rather quickly. My memory lane happens to be the ones that got away. Whatever that number is, that's the one that actually hurts and is the most memorable." Yeah, hey, tell me about it, Cash. Your pain is our pain. MLB.com, "Are you a Hall of Famer and why?" Cashman says, "I would say there are a number of people that I would point to that are Hall of Famers ahead of me." I won't bore you with that one. MLB.com, "What's amazing is that you started as an intern. What did you expect when you started in that role?" It's funny, I actually talked to Cashman about this. Cashman, "I didn't expect anything. You do everything you possibly can to serve your bosses. I was happy to be there to serve and do what I was told to the best of my ability so they can do their jobs better. I wasn't playing the long game of having the vision of being a general manager one day. I said, I'll do this for a year or two. I could tell my family and kids in the future, never expecting that I would get a career out of it. Baseball is my passion, but back then, there was little room for non-former players in the baseball hierarchy. Who taught you the nuances of baseball?" Cashman says, "I had many mentors. I had a chance to work with Buck Showalter, Gene Michael. They were probably the most impactful. Billy Livesley and Brian Sabian. Those guys taught me everything I needed to know in the amateur world. And then George Steinbrenner. I learned a lot from all of these people in a different way." What was the biggest thing you learned from all of those people? Cashman says, "They taught me how the game will humble you. You can't take anything for granted. The biggest thing from George Steinbrenner was you always need to find a way to improve." So that's what I'm talking about with the Dodgers. They always are looking for ways to improve. And if Cashman is saying that, bro, like when I ran into Cashman last year, I said, please stack the deck. If this is the team, if this is the year we're getting back to the World Series, at the deadline, stack the deck. We added Jazz. We added Mark Leiter Jr. Good additions, but I don't think that was stacking the deck. MLB says, "We know you have won 5 World Series titles as a GM, but what regular season victory stands out?" I don't care about that. Where's the question I was looking at before? Let me take a call because I'm running out of time, and then we'll come back to that. But Cashman does talk about the World Series and his title hopes. Luis in Bayonne on the Fan. What's up, Luis?
Yo, Keith, big fan. Luis from Bayonne here. Appreciate all the things you've been saying about history, Yankees, Cashman, Boone, this and that. But Like, what do you... Like, look, Yanks are hurt. It's, I don't know, 15 games into the season. Like, Rodon's kind of up and down like he's always been. So, like, what do you think about the Yankees' rotation this season? Be honest with me, man. I don't want to hear this nonsense. But I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. What do I think about the rotation? It's not great. It's not what I expected. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy we have Max Fried. If we sign Juan Soto, we don't have Max Fried. Conversation ends right there. I am happy that we have an ace. I'm happy that we have a guy that went out there when he had to be the stopper and was not affected by cold temperatures, was not affected by potentially being swept, was like, oh, no, I get the ball. I'm throwing the whole kitchen sink at the Tigers. I'm going to strike out 11 of these guys. I'm not walking anybody. You can't hit this. Like, it was... Whew, it was refreshing to watch. And after inning and inning and inning went by, eventually the Yankees' bats woke up and came through. I was very concerned about them folding, right? I watched them fold in the cold the first two games where I'm like, what's the use, yo? Marcus Stroman is a problem. Marcus Stroman, I'm not very confident in. The Yankees don't want him to get to 140 innings, and he won't. Carlos Carrasco is starting games for this team. His first outing, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. His second outing, he was serving up cookies, fresh baked cookies. Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, the game is over. Tarek Skubal is on the other side. Will Warren is a young guy trying to find his way. I think he's got a lot of potential and promise, but we know he'll be the first one sent down. And that brings me to my point about Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt has looked pretty good. Clark Schmidt is on his way back very soon. Clark Schmidt threw four scoreless innings in his rehab start for the Somerset Patriots. Three hits, no runs, no walks, 4 Ks, 61 pitches. Three of his four strikeouts came on the curveball looking. He froze some guys. So it will be good to have Clark back. Now, with Cashman, before I take another call at 888-808-1019, MLB.com says, how do you feel the current team is going? Cashman says, honestly, we are finding our way. We have a lot of talent, and we'll see how it measures up with the season underway. We have some injuries we have to overcome like everybody else. We are starting to see the emergence of some of our young core players like Ben Rice, Austin Wells, Anthony Volpe, and Jason Dominguez. Clark Schmidt is coming back from injury. Will Warren has taken a turn in the rotation. These young guys are being asked to contribute significantly and allow us to excel. They are doing a great job so far. Getting out of the gate, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this takes us. John is in Orange County. Next up on the fan, you got it, John.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Good, good. You were talking about Cashman a minute ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember the 96 Yankees. I'm 57 years old. If I remember correctly, Bob Watson was the GM, and Cashman was the assistant. Bob Watson never gets credit for putting that team together in 95, 96 with Michael. He was great. He passed away young, I think. But I never hear anybody ever give Bob Watson credit for that Yankee team. It's always Cashman.
Yeah, it's rare. It gets lumped into Cashman more than they ever point to Bob Watson. And, you know, Bob Watson was instrumental in Cashman getting the gig.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just remember, Bob Watson as a player, and I remember him taking over, you know, in the front office with the Yankees, and he did a phenomenal job, and I never hear the guy's name mentioned. I'm not an anti-Cashman, I'm just saying, I mean, you know.
No, but thank you for adding that, because as I just read, they said, you've won 5 World Series. Well, Bob Watson retired after that 96 World Series, so he retired in 97, and from what Cashman told me out of his own mouth, they basically threw him into that job. He basically took the job. Once this guy retired, they pointed to him. It's on you, whether you're ready or not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But thank you for bringing that up, John. 888-808-1019. It's worth giving that man credit for. And I think Brian Cashman would give him credit himself. You know, when I was talking to Cashman last season, I think it was right after I had sat in for Susan Waldman. And what the conversation kind of lent itself to was me being like, listen, I'm a radio guy, I'm a radio host, but I'm a fan. I'm not trying to be a broadcaster. I'm not trying to announce games, call games, do color. But, like, if the opportunity comes up to call a Yankee game, what am I supposed to be, afraid and say no? I'm not built like that. I said, yeah, I'll do it. With, like, 10 days notice and doing my shows leading up, where I didn't spend the week necessarily preparing. I spent the week doing my shows, not sleeping, taking care of my kid. You know, the days passing by, and I got thrown into the fire. And I still feel like I could have done better. And if I get another opportunity, I'll try to be better prepared. But I don't beat myself up about it. But when I was talking to Cashman about it, you know, Cashman listened, and he gave me some compliments and some criticism and some feedback or whatever, just little things that he heard. And I talked about being thrown into that position and not ever calling a baseball game before and not asking for it, but just like the job came open. Obviously, Susan was getting ready for the homecoming dinner, and I happened to be the first name that got thrown in to sit in, and obviously with my relationship with Susan, whatever, blah, 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 you guys know. And then we were talking about the GM job. And you just heard in this article, Brian Cashman saying, like, you know, Bob Watson played. He just said there was no room in the baseball hierarchy for guys that hadn't played. But if you look at Brian Cashman being thrown into the fire, taking that job, and what he did with it and what he's still doing with it, it's amazing. It's amazing. As much crap as he gets, 2,500 regular season wins, 5 World Series, going to the postseason every year, like, you know, Cashman is a Hall of Famer. Cashman is a good GM. He's the Yankees' eternal GM. And I really do hope that whether it's this year, next year, some year soon, he gets another ring. He gets the Yankees win another World Series. It is overdue. They have the talent. And I just hope to God we get to the trade deadline and we're not prospect hugging. We get to the trade deadline and it's, yo, punch it. Give up the prospects. Maybe not George Lombard. Spencer Jones, I wouldn't really, go ahead. Because, like, where's Spencer Jones going to play? Are you going to go after Kyle Tucker? Where's Spencer Jones going to play? 888-808-1019. Let me see if there was anything else from this article. I read it earlier. I was like, oh, let me bring some of this to the table if we get to talking baseball, which, of course, we're going to talk baseball. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But, like, even the tagline of the thing was, you know, Cashman talks Yankees title hopes. 2,500 win as GM. How about the World Baseball Classic? Mark DeRosa is going to be the Team USA manager again. Michael Hill will assist as well. I saw that Jazz Chisholm is going to potentially play for Great Britain. Judge had talked about potentially playing for the United States. I know a lot was made here at WFAN about the worthless baseball classic. Juan Soto is going to play for the Dominican Republic. Lindor is going to play for Puerto Rico. You can bank on it. It's facts. It's already done. I don't know if Edwin Diaz is going to go back. But we will have some Mets and some Yankees next year, spring training, in the World Baseball Classic. I was telling my wife, I'm like, I'm going. I'm like, next year I'm trying to go. I'm trying to go to spring training and take that ride to Miami and see one of those games. And I was like, you and Jack cannot come. This is going to be a solo mission. I'm like, you guys cannot attend. Because you know, in Miami, they be turning up, boy. Leave the wife and kid at home, crack a couple beers, go see the you know, Puerto Rican versus Dominican Republic game at Lone Depot Park. Party in the city where the heat is on. All right. I would say the number again, but there's no show left. And as I comb through my notes, I think I hit everything for the most part that I wanted to hit. We talked Knicks. We talked Jets and Giants draft. I talked a little bit about Clark Schmidt like I wanted to. Oh, quickly here, Ben Rice. Brendan Cuddy wrote an article answering questions. People asking already, what happens when Stanton comes back? What happens when Giancarlo Stanton comes back? Simple answer. This is from Brendan Cuddy. The Yankees would continue to cycle Ben Rice through DH at-bats, especially against righties as Stanton reacclimates to regular playing time. They could also give first baseman Paul Goldschmidt rest days in the middle of the summer against righties. Rice has played just 2 games, 1 start at first base. The Yankees could also demote J.C. Ascara, but I don't think they're going to do that. So, I think that's pretty much what I was getting at last night when we were talking about it, but I'm not worried about Stanton returning. We have no idea when that's going to be. And I did mention how he was already talked about, you know, as a platoon option last year. Ben Rice is a lefty. Stanton is a righty. You know how that will go. All right. Big Mac's coming in here next. As I see this Rangers game restarted, I guess they're going to play this one all night. Rangers still alive. That's it. I might be in tomorrow. I might not be. I'll be here Saturday. Either way, thanks for listening.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.